Oh my gosh.
Welcome to Dank Talk. We know you have a choice in podcasts when you listen, and we want to thank you for listening to us. I am Rufus Cochran, and we are Dankbots.
I don't care how educational it is. Let's do it.
Hello, this is Matt Sowers from Dankbots. I'd like to talk to you today about design. Specifically, electromechanical design with regards to a robot. Design is the act of taking an intent and imbuing it on an object. It's taking an idea and turning it into a thing. For example, you could find a stick laying on the ground.
All right, give him the stick.
With a little bit of work, you could turn that stick into a pencil, or a spoon, or a crutch, or a cane. Before, it was just a stick. Now,
don't give him the stick.
It's a crutch, or a pencil, or a cane. Design, then, must be imbuing design intent into an object, whether you create it or transmute it from one thing to another. You can see how closely it meets your intent by evaluating that design elegance. So, let's talk about design goals and design elegance. Design goals for our robot, of course, is destroy the opponent or incapacitate the opponent or force them into terrain. And another design goal is to survive the same on your own robot.
He's just going in for the kill now. It's like a cat playing with a wounded mouse.
These ideal functions are what the design goals are. We have parameters which bound what the tools are we can use, what the materials are we can use, what the attack methods we can use are. All of that stuff is bounded for us, and that's generally how engineering design begins, is figuring out what you cannot do.
In the face of overwhelming odds, I'm left with only one option.
Then whatever remains, however difficult, must be what your design is.
I'm gonna have to science the shit out of this.
So for each of these design goals, we can go through and systematically evaluate, through a deep dive process, every aspect of how to destroy an opponent or to survive against an opponent. Looking at existing designs and coming up with ideas about what are possible permutations of the existing designs are, we can bound what we need to survive. This also helps us to define what are the areas in which we ourselves can provide attacks. There's going to be some combination or permutation of all of these things together that eventually result in an effective design. So now, once you've achieved your design goals, or you've decided that you've met enough of your design goals, you're going to use the methods of design elegance to try to figure out how good the design is. Design elegance is an interesting concept. It's flavor to an artist.
Every now and then you want to knock it up a notch with a blast from your spice weasel.
The taste, if you will, of a dish.
Bam!
It's the aesthetic of an appearance.
Bam!
Mechanical and electromechanical design also share this concept of design elegance.
Bon appetit.
And generally, it's doing the most amount of effort with the least amount of parts. So, part reduction is one element of design elegance. Combinations of parts and combining parts into something useful, that is a measure of design elegance. So our design elegance will be evaluated for each one of these features. So, in the case of a design goal that says survive spike attack, we should probably have something in there that shows us how it defends against a spike attack. One of those could be a metal chosen, or a metal thickness, or some surface treatment that thwarts the spike. The design elegance could be something as simple as make it round, because round things are really hard to stab. That's a design elegance solution. So design elegance is most commonly understood through the utility of a device, or how easy it is to use. For example, aside from the stick we talked about earlier, which is of course man's greatest and most powerful invention, the second most thing is the stick with the rock, and that's a hammer. When you see a hammer, you're not confused about which end is the holdy end and which end is the poundy end. It's pretty obvious. So a hammer tends to demonstrate a very high degree of design elegance. So once you've looked at your design goals, and you've achieved each element of the design goals that you see as these ideal functions in the design, then you've evaluated each of your design decisions against the design goal and how well you think it will achieve that design. You apply the veneer of the design elegance on top of it for the actual design itself to figure out what the dimensions of the part should be and what materials it should be made of and how it should function.
I want to get you to try being creative.
Design elegance is also built into the overarching design. Why have a bracket that holds a bracket that holds a bracket that holds a bracket that holds a bracket with a bunch of fasteners when I can simply just form all these parts together by molding them or otherwise casting and machining? So much of the design, then, is the practicality and the usage of the thing, especially in the electromechanical world. So that means there must be some final step of evaluation based on the evolution or adaptation of the design itself. Part of design elegance is adapting and adaptability of that design to meet future situations that were unpredicted. Well, if it's unpredicted, you can't test for it. So you simply have to try the thing. After we send a few rockets up into space, we got some ideas about how we should change our designs to make them survive that environment better. After a few boats were launched, people got better ideas about how to build these things and how to fashion them in such a way that they were adaptable to their needs. So being able to predict the future isn't as powerful as being able to build an adaptive design that doesn't care what the future will bring and will adapt to meet the challenges ahead of it. In a nutshell, that's design. This has been Matt Sowers talking on behalf of DenkBots. Learn, create, inspire.
Fantastic. Thank you, Matt, for those insights on design. Before you go, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm a mechanical engineer from Purdue University. I got into engineering, especially mechanical kind, because I liked physics and I liked calculus. Once I started building things and realizing that the best parts of mechanical engineering were destroying what you've created so you can build something better, that sucked me in all the way.
Special thanks to Matt Sowers for sharing his insights on design and to Sunset Pig for their fantastic music. You can find the song Want that was used in this piece and more at sunsetpig.bandcamp.com. I am Rufus Cochran, and on behalf of everyone at DenkBots, thanks for listening to Denk Talk. Denk Talk, be sure to check us out at DenkBots.com and follow us at DenkBots on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And as always, learn, create, inspire.
Bleep bloop, I am a robot. Yeah, just kidding.